Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Jared Dudley has played some 900 games in the NBA since 2007 for Charlotte, Phoenix, the LA Clippers, the Bucks, Wizards, Nets, and LA Lakers. But he's never experienced anything like the past two seasons, when the Lakers added LeBron James, lost Kobe Bryant in a helicopter crash, went into the Disney bubble to ride out the pandemic, and then won the NBA Finals over Miami.
Final seconds here in this NBA season. The respect from those two. And that's it. It's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Dudley, who starred at Boston College before joining the league, is the author of the new Amazon title, Inside the NBA Bubble, recounting the extraordinary 2020 season from the vantage point of a longtime league veteran, father, and now NBA champion. Jared Dudley, welcome to the Roundtable.
Glad to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
So your essay is about life in the NBA bubble. Is there anything this season that you missed from life in the bubble?
Wow, not really. I would just say the camaraderie of the guys. You're with the guys all the time. We went to this restaurant called the Three Bridges, us just hanging out. You feel like you're back in college. So if you miss maybe playing video games with the guys and not having to worry about wife and kids for a couple hours, I mean, maybe that, but not too much, man, to be honest with you.
How is the league different this year? I mean, there's still strict limitations on fans, but you are going from city to city.
I mean, the biggest thing is, man, your family. I mean, you can be with your family 24/7. I can go to the gas station. I can go to the grocery store. I'm allowed to do stuff like that. Now, I can't be out and dining and be out there, you know, socializing without a mask on. Obviously, you know, you got to be smart about it. I can have someone come to my house. I have the resources to test them up to 3-4 days beforehand, have them be able to come over. So it's just, I think the social, when you interact with people that you have here that you didn't have before. And it's just the little things, man. And it makes a huge difference in life.
Did you ever have apprehension about going into the bubble last year, given the fact that, you know, you're older for an NBA player, you've got your family, like you mentioned, and that really was a sacrifice to make to get the season together?
I never thought about not going. I thought that's something we had to do. I just thought it was too much of a financial hit on players and owners for us to be able to lose that billions of dollars. I thought that we owed it to our communities to be able to use our voice to help change, and that helped. For us to be able to almost boycott games after Blake was, you know, shot at, we made the owners have it open up their arenas for guys first to vote. And as you saw, Biden got in, owners using their money and resources to help organizations to help change and change laws. So it was a start. And if we don't go there, we don't get that. So I was always a proponent. We have to go to the bubble. We have to crown a champion. We have to keep the business of basketball going, and also for the community to raise awareness of what's going on in society.
The political part of life in the NBA really escalated last year and the last several years during the Trump administration. Now that President Biden is in and Trump is gone, do you think players have a different attitude towards politics, or is the activism still going to be a big part of the league?
Activism is still going to be a big part of the league. It's a start. Obviously, you have new leadership and someone that you feel that's going to be able to help change things. It's in a positive direction, but it's still like, you know, like, let's be honest. We always hear this too. Even the president has trouble changing laws and stuff like that. So it's going to take time. We know that we have to be patient. We have to come up with a strategic plan of how we're going to see change. And we have to just call out. And every time someone's doing something racist or wrong, that's not right, it needs to be called out and held accountable. So for us, it's a start, you know, and it'd be a nice gesture if somehow the Lakers could go to the White House.
You've been in the league for like 14 years now. And I think it's fair to say you've never been a superstar player, always a valuable player on rosters. What have you done to stick around that long?
That's a good question. You have to be able to evolve. I knew that when the game's changing, you have to change with the game. Don't be stubborn. So when I came in as a power forward, energy junkyard dog, that was my nickname, to a three-point specialist, to then a veteran leader that helped young teams. And through my leadership, a guy that you needed in that locker room, helped players, knew his role, was like a coach in the locker room who held guys accountable, who was vocal enough, and something that, you know, is invaluable. And that's what made me stick this long.
You've played with LeBron now. You've played against him for many years. What do you think the public and fans of the league get wrong or don't know about him?
Well, I think everyone, even the people that don't like him, know he's really, really good. I just think that he's someone that people might not know, man. He's just a guy's guy who wants to be with the guys, wants to hang out with us, wants to, you know, wants to do whatever he can to help his team win. And it's so funny. For someone who's so good, he's so unselfish. He actually likes better to pass the ball. And so he's genuinely, when you're unselfish, you're genuinely a nice guy. That's what makes you nice. You're so unselfish. You care for others. And so I think that people to get it wrong where they might think he's stuck up or arrogant, he's actually selfless and caring, to be real. And I don't think they get to see that side because you're not there on an everyday basis. You don't get to meet LeBron the person, you meet LeBron the player.
So how did it all come together for the Lakers last season? What was the secret to getting that championship, given the break in the middle of the season and then the run through the playoffs in the bubble?
Chemistry. I think we had the number one chemistry. Everyone liked each other. Everyone knew their role and accepted it. And because of that, it's very rare. Most teams don't have it. You have guys that are trying to get paid money, don't care about winning. On this team, only people care about was a championship. No one cared about numbers or stats. And it's easier to do that when you like each other. And that's one thing we had was chemistry.
One thing you talk about in the essay is the weirdness of having won a championship in front of no fans and then going back, finally emerging from the bubble and not being able to go right to a parade. How strange was that experience? Because I'm sure you had imagined it many times during your career.
Man, it was just surreal. Like I had people driving around my house honking, you know, congratulating me because they couldn't come in. You just kept hearing like honks and honks. It helped so much. But you were just like, wow, like, no lie, the only example I can give you is a guy who was in prison who gets out of prison. Like, so much has changed. Like, my family had their routine, and I'm coming home, and now I'm free, and I have nothing to do. It's off season, and I literally have so much time, but everyone's doing their thing, and I'm trying to catch up. But yet we're still in a pandemic. Nothing has really, really changed. So it was just a weird feeling. I'm calling my teammates, like, yo, I'm bored. Hey, what y'all doing? Or when's the next time we can see each other? You know, stuff like that.
It's clear that you enjoy your media appearances and you probably have a career on this side of the microphone. How much longer do you want to play in the NBA?
I'd love to play this year and one more year. I'd love to get to 15. I'd love to have, you know, have fans and have my son to be able to come to one more season watching games and interacting with players and trying to, you know, just keep, you know, keep giving him in his mind the creativeness of wanting to play and reach his goals and be able to see it up close. And so I would love to play, you know, this year and one more in that 15.
And that would give you the chance to get in front of fans again, too.
For sure. That's the whole point I'm trying to do. We'll see if it happens, but, you know, if you win, everything happens. Everything, you know, everything that's supposed to happen happens.
You know, as a fan, it seems to me that defense in college basketball is kind of lessened without the crowds there. It just makes it less intense in some important moments. Have you noticed any changes in the way the game is played in the last couple of seasons without, you know, the deafening roar and that kind of thing?
Oh, for sure. Some players play different, less pressure, less stress. You know, the crowd, you know, crowd intimidates you. It makes you play differently. Usually, you know, stars play better on the road because role players play better at home. And that's not been the case. You see guys having career games on the road and different stuff like that. And it's not their fault. It is what it is. But the game is totally different. And you will see a change in that when fans come back.
Well, Jared Dudley, inside the NBA bubble, thank you for taking this time. And hopefully down the road somewhere, you'll get back in front of those big crowds. Thank you so much.
Man, thank you for having me. Anytime, sir.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.